Thank you, Ben. My belt keeps throwing this microphone off, so we'll try and get it strapped back in again. The seasons of life. I have observed that the seasons we experience in Canada give us a backdrop for consideration of the seasons of our lives. Spring reminds us of new life, our childhood, as the deciduous trees sprout new leaves and spring flowers arrive. It's a time for planting. Summer brings great weather, and we enjoy it with our family and our friends. It's like the active season of our adult lives when we work and we have families. Autumn is a time when the trees lose their leaves in a glorious array of color. It reminds me of the retirement years, which I'm now in, when we spend time with our children's family and build relationships with our grandchildren. During those years, we may lose our hair or our hair color. It's happened. Finally, we have winter, which represents the final years of our lives. During this season, someone begins to help look after us, despite our desire to remain independent, as we lose strength and some of our abilities and we need extra help. In the passage read just a moment ago so well by Ben, the author left words that have resonated through the ages. Let's consider them together now. In the 1960s, you may have heard of the band from California known as The Byrds, spelled B-Y-R-D-S, put the first eight verses of Ecclesiastes to music in the song called Turn, Turn, Turn. How many of you remember that song? Yeah, it was a song I remember as a teenager, too, growing up. It was a very, very popular song at the time, but I didn't even realize it when I first heard it, that it came from Scripture. So observations and realizations of a time for everything. Time, seasons, activities, purposes, those are all words that are kind of implied in the first verses that we read. These first verses draw us our attention to God's sovereignty. This is reassuring and at the same time sobering. Reassuring because God is in control. Sobering because his control remains mysterious to us, his creatures. There is purposefulness in life because of God's oversight of its seasons as well. In Psalm 31, 15, the psalmist says, "My times are in your hands." God's control of time imposes itself upon us. There's a beginning and an end to life. Now, in this eight verses, we see 14 pairs of polar opposite activities. A Bible scholar named J.A. Loder has identified an alternating pattern of values in this list. He labels the actions as either generally favorable or unfavorable. The passage starts with, "There is a time for everything, and there is a season for every activity under heaven." Seven sets of four opposites, half favorable, half unfavorable. This captures the completeness of life's activities and everything that is found under the sun. The first two things mentioned on the list are a time to be born and a time to die. Now, I picture those two items to be like bookends. One bookend, we're born. Then time passes and we fill our life with volumes of experiences. Then death provides the opposite bookend. The average person with a lifespan of 70 to 100 years, seems to be getting longer all the time, doesn't it? We'll live to see most, if not all, of the activities contained in this list. We will live through seasons of planting and seasons of uprooting. We will tear things down and we will build things up. We'll go through suffering and loss. We'll weep privately and laugh publicly. We'll mourn at the loss of loved ones and friends. And many of us have done that already many times. Some of us will dance. I tend not to because I've got two left feet. We'll keep and we'll throw away. We will speak at times and be quiet at other times. We'll experience the consequences of war and enjoy the serenity of peace. As we consider this passage, we acknowledge that these favorable and unfavorable activities accompany us and become woven into the fabric of our lives. That is probably why this passage has been put to music and read at weddings and funerals and other kind of events, because it touches on the matters that we encounter during our lives. So let me ask you this. What season of life do you find yourself in this morning? What season are you in? Some seasons of life are short. However, other seasons are very long. For example, when we were raising our children, I remember getting all four of them fed and dressed. They were 32 months apart. Now, some of you that are quick in math are saying, wait a minute, four children, 32 months, doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't unless you have twins. And we had twins, the last two. I clearly remember at times thinking while I was doing all of this activity with them as they were very young, will this ever end? Will this ever end? It was daily. Today, our youngest, the twins, are 35 years old. Some of you may be going through a season and thinking exactly that. Will this ever end? Is it going anywhere? Is there meaning in all of this? Later in life, for several years, Anne, my wife, and I looked after our aging parents who were in their 90s until they passed. That was another season for us. What season of life are you in? Do you have health issues? Are you lonely? Are you going through a time of suffering? Are you facing a relationship crisis? Are you being challenged beyond what you can handle at work, at school, at home? Are you trying to find your way in your retirement years and purpose? Whatever season you are in, and there may be many that you can just identify that I haven't even touched on, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ desires for you during this season of your life? God makes everything beautiful in its time, verses 10 to 15. Verse 10 follows the question in verse 9 about what does the worker gain from his toil? The teacher restates, or the preacher, his previous observations. He has seen the burden God has laid on men. Here, God has given, here's two of these verses that the Ecclesiastes author wrote. The first one is Ecclesiastes 1:13, the second part of it. It's an unhappy business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. It's an unhappy business. Doesn't sound very positive, does it? And then in chapter 2, verse 22 and 23, he says, what has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. Do those words resonate with you? If any of you ever owned a business or run a farm, there are times when you can't sleep. There's vexation in your spirit. And the author goes on to say, and this is also his vanity, meaningless under the sun. Then he says here in Ecclesiastes 10, God has made everything beautiful in its time. What does he mean? In the context of time for everything, in a season for every activity under heaven, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Where can we see this beauty? We see it in nature during the different seasons. There are beautiful things that happen during each different season. We've seen it. But we see it in families. When girls grow, little girls grow and they become young ladies, and boys become young men, in the context of time, everything will become beautiful in its time. Let's return to our last question again. What season of life are you in? If God says he will make everything beautiful in its time, what beauty does God want to build into your life during this season that you are in? For the pregnant mother-to-be, there can be great discomfort. I've heard that. I'm sure that we've experienced it, women. Compromised sleep, morning sickness, unusual cravings. Nevertheless, there's often a radiance to a woman's countenance as she's bringing a new life into the world. In this season, there's an opportunity to permit God to to continue to build his character into your life. For the expectant mother seeking God's grace can prepare you through the season of pregnancy for the next season of child rearing. That's true for all of us. Whatever season we may be in, regardless of the circumstances, provides us with an opportunity to allow God's grace to transform us. If we look at it from the perspective of the fruit of the Spirit, we put to death the works of the flesh in order that the fruit of the Spirit would be produced in our life. That's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are fruit that are being born and made and created in us as we rely upon the Lord. Is it fair to say often we don't take full advantage of the season we're in? Is that fair to say? When I had those thoughts with my small children, will this ever end? Did I take advantage of that moment of recognition to say, wait a moment, God, what qualities do you want to build into my life during this season that I'm in? Are you enjoying God during the season you're in, or are you anxious, frustrated, upset? Are you enjoying Him? Are you being defeated by temptations that you're unable to overcome? Are you tempted to run away from it all? Are you in an escape mode and trying to escape to a happy place in a fantasy world? Guess what? When the escape is over, the reality is still there before you. Are you ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Now, dare we ask ourselves, Lord Jesus, while I am in this season, I want to allow you to build your character and truth into my life. I want to be someone who reflects your beauty right where I am in this season of my life. I know that I do not have the strength to accomplish this in my own flesh. Yet I also know that I can overcome through your strength and yours alone. Help me to enjoy the journey by your seeking your presence, Jesus, to accompany me moment by moment daily. In New Testament terms, a way of looking at this is we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, because He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So if we fix our eyes on Him, we are in hot pursuit of His will, His presence, His pleasure in our lives. God makes everything beautiful in its time. What is the relationship between beauty and the next statement here, declaring that God has also set eternity in man's heart? How does this sense of eternity work itself out? We find ourselves trapped in a maze of time and unable to see clearly the beginning from the end of what God has done. That is the observation the teacher is making. He does not provide a complete answer in this book, but we have a more complete answer today in terms of the revelation of God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we all must admit that the teacher is right in noting that we still do not know the beginning from the end. Let me give you an example. I knew a couple, wonderful young couple, John and Brenda Spears. They were missionaries overseas. After their first term was completed, they accepted a new placement. First, they had to come home, and then after a time of language training and other training, they returned to the new field placement. Shortly after arriving, John was killed by a robber in what seemed to be a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Their mission was cut short by death. It was a shock to all of us because we had seen them leave full of excitement, anticipating all that the Lord was going to do in and through their lives. I don't understand why. But I believe John was prepared by his previous season for this season. We're unable to fathom the beginning from the end. Life does not always make sense under the sun. Eternity is also under God's control. He set the conditions for it. the preacher or teacher has brought God into the conversation, and he has noted that even though everything under the sun seems to point to futility, to purposelessness, nevertheless, he gives us a glimmer of hope to the journey. Perhaps it seems that every season seems futile, a time to be born, a time to die, meaningless. And on top of that, we didn't have a choice, did we? We didn't have a choice to be born. We're here. It happens. Meaningless. No, says the teacher. When you understand that God is the author of life and of time, consciousness of him brings contentment in the midst of life's activities during the journey. When you acknowledge God, you will experience his pleasure in the pursuits of time. You get that? You will experience his pleasure in the pursuits of time when you acknowledge him. You'll see the beauty of God's creation. You'll also experience joy and sorrow and all the other emotions of life as you live through the times, the seasons of life. It is true, no man knows or understands the beginning from the end. However, God has worked in history, unveiling the plan of salvation. Man is not merely a creature of time. There is within us that which transcends time. Man has a sense of forever. He seeks to stand back, or we seek to stand back, from the process of time and discern the plan and pattern of the whole. But we are too deeply immersed in it to succeed. The end and the beginning continue to elude us. The tension between today and forever in us can never be completely resolved, yet man can find forever in today by gratefully accepting the gifts of God and following his commandments. The greatest being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This posture will help us to become beautiful with a beauty that is built within us as we rest in Christ's finished work. Remember Mary and Martha? Remember that story, Mary and Martha? One day Jesus was in their home. Mary was distracted with all kinds of serving. She was running here and running there, all flustered. And so she decides, well, what's Mary just doing sitting there? So she says to Jesus, tell Mary to help me. Why am I doing all this alone? But the Lord said, Martha, Martha, I love it, he repeats her name, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. God wants us to recognize where we are and to be. To stop running and doing, filled with anxiety, troubled with many things, start resting and bask in his teaching as Mary did. And he'll be able to build his beauty into our lives as we look to him and rest in him through all of the seasons of life. Although human beings can and have accomplished much and achieved astonishing things, you know that this week, you all probably heard it, 50 years ago this week, what happened? Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. Such an accomplishment is amazing, is it not? Yet, accomplishments, no matter what they are dwarfed when compared to one who has lived in obedience to God. Life's meaning cannot be discovered by pursuits under the sun, regardless of what they are. It's only revealed by God through his word. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 in the end of the book says, the teacher's explorations of life's meaninglessness outside of knowing God become an invitation to know him. Now, knowing him and his saving grace through Jesus Christ places us in the position to become beautiful. Paul said this to his understudy Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I've entrusted, or to guard that which I've entrusted to him for that day. Is that your journey? Can you say that today? Many of you will remember the late Corrie ten Boom. She lived to be a ripe old lady, and she experienced many seasons of life, some which we probably won't have to experience. She was the daughter of a Dutch clockmaker, and she herself became a watchmaker. When the Nazi regime occupied Holland and they parachuted in, they began to round up the Jewish people and place them in concentration camps for the purposes of the final solution, the Holocaust. Corrie and her family hid Jews in their homes and helped them to escape. Eventually, they were caught and sent to a concentration camp. Corrie was released by a providential mix-up 11 months afterwards. Later in life, Corrie, the only survivor of her family from the concentration camp, shared the gospel around the world, recounting her life experiences and the movement of Jesus Christ in her life during and after having been released from the concentration camp. She often used the illustration of a tapestry to tell her life story. You'll see here a slide. There's two different tapestries slides because I couldn't find one that would do both. But Corrie noted that living within the creation under the sun, she could only see the underside of the slide, next slide, with its myriads of endless threads that did not make any sense and were unfathomable. However, the Creator who works from heaven on the other side of the tapestry is weaving the threads together in such a way that they produce the picture he can see perfectly. Jesus Christ makes us beautiful in time during each season of life. And since we are living under the sun, we only see a jumbled mess of hanging threads. However, we are God's workmanship, and He desires to continue to make us beautiful as we move on toward eternity. I want to end with this poem this morning that Corrie loved to share. Life is but a weaving. Listen closely. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors He weaves so steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. This question is one we all need to answer and reflect on today. Do you find meaning? Do we all find meaning in what we do under the sun? Or in what God is doing to make us beautiful in the seasons of life we are in through His Son, Jesus Christ?